Odeck with Gordo, brought to us by A Number One Air.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. I don't know how we started talking about Slenderman earlier in the show.
Because we're talking about how Rowdy's creepy. And
right. That he is, that's right. That he's the cowboy Slenderman because kids are revolted by him. But at the same time, they feel that they should be attracted to him because he's a mascot. And I was trying to come up with on the fly the origin of the whole Slenderman meme. And I think that the actual story of Slenderman as a meme is fascinating, how technology has amplified the way that we can crowdsource our the stand-in, the totem of our fears. So you have the things that psychologically torment us. Mm-hmm. And then now we have this ability to kind of in real time all start contributing to create the perfect villain that scares the heck out of us. Now, why humans love being scared is...
I don't know.
It's a very strange thing.
I don't like scary movies. Some people like going to those just for the thrill of it. Man, I don't go to them.
I used to hate them. And in the past few years, I found myself kind of seeking them out.
That doesn't surprise me.
Like, I'd hear a movie's really scary, and I'd be like, ooh, I want to see that. I want to see how they do it, because I'm always fascinated by the psychologically scary movies. You know, not just the slasher films or anything right like that, but the ones that put you in some sort of weird psychological bind, and that's what Slenderman does. So the origins of Slenderman, it started back in 2009 on Something Awful, which is a forum. It's Something Awful Forums, and they had this Photoshop contest back in June of 2009. And on June 10th, a Something Awful user named Victor Surge, whose real name ended up being Eric Knudsen, and he ends up getting mega rich from this whole thing, he just posted two black and white photographs of unnamed children with a short description of Slenderman as the mysterious creature who stalked the children. And the caption on one of these photos was, "We didn't want to go, we didn't want to kill them, but its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time."
God.
And it's dated 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead. But that was the caption to the photo. And so then people start adding to it, because this creature is, he's real unnaturally tall. He wears a black suit, so he's dressed very smartly. He has these long, spindly arms and legs, and he has this weird, featureless face, just this white, featureless face. And he usually lives outside in the trees, and he stalks and sometimes abducts children, or he just kills people. And as he targets you, the closer he gets, the more you start to experience debilitating physical symptoms, like a cough, or weakness, paranoia, insomnia, and that's known as slender sickness. That's just when he's near.
Creepy.
It's so brilliant. It's so brilliant. It's so great. And so you have a situation where kids are afraid that Slenderman will abduct them and take them away, but they also kind of want Slenderman to abduct them and take them away.
What?
That's so cheap.
Because there's something comforting about him.
Yeah, there's something comforting about him. And he does, he is kind of drawn towards kids that are bullied and things like that. So he's like a protector to you if you become one of his proxies. That's the thing. These kids want to become his proxies on Earth. And as he calls to them, and some people say that he moves in and out of dimensions, and he moves you in and out of dimensions. That's why you get slender sickness. It's because you're having to go through some thresholds that you're not really designed to go through. It's pretty great.
And you'll go see it when it comes out.
Yeah, I'll go see this movie, and I'm sure they'll botch it, and Slenderman purist will hate it, and that sort of thing. Another incredible element of it, fascinating one, is that the more you add to his legend, an interesting feature is the more people believe and the more that someone adds to his legend and it scares a large number of people, then he actually does gain that power, because our belief in him calls him forth into existence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add something to him and enough people get scared by it and start trading it, and talking about it and everything, then it actually does get added to his powers. So that psychological bind always is great to me. The whole don't think about him and he won't be called.
And then you can't help it.
Then you can't help but thinking about him and you keep calling him nearer. He keeps being drawn to you like a curious dog. He just wants to get close to you and just start looking at you with his featureless face.
So is he gaining in popularity or did he peak a few years ago?
I think he peaked a few years ago. But here we are, so technologically advanced, so connected, and so science-based in the sense that our culture moves on technology. Our culture moves on science now. Yet we're using these very high-tech, science-driven devices to create these mythologies and this mythos that goes back to when we were in medieval times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very similar to the Pied Piper of, what was it, Pied Piper of Hamelin or whatever that story is, that he came and took all the children playing his flute. And
Pied Piper of Pittsburgh, I believe.
Pittsburgh, yes, exactly. And, yeah, he calls the children and he takes them.
Well, I'm looking at pictures of Slenderman. He would be the ultimate defensive center in the NBA.
Yeah, he's got huge reach.
His wingspan must be 15 feet. It's incredible.
Yeah. You guys should see that documentary, Beware of the Slenderman, Slenderman. It's about those two kids in Wisconsin who, 12-year-old girls, who had that sleepover with the third girl and called her out into the woods where they could kill her.
They actually killed her?
They stabbed her 19 times.
12-year-olds.
Because yes, 12-year-olds. Slenderman told them to?
Slenderman didn't exactly tell them to, I don't think. I think they were just doing it to appease Slenderman and so that maybe he would accept their request that they can become his proxy on the Earth. And they were arrested, and it was a trial. It's a great documentary because it does cover these subjects of why these things are particularly attractive to young girls, too. There's something about Slenderman and those types of things that young girls really get into, and it's like the Manson thing, right? The Manson mm-hmm. cult was predominantly a bunch of women. Why are they attracted to cults and evil figures like this? So that 12-year-old victim ended up living. She was not killed. She was stabbed 19 times. And she lived.
Wow.
But that documentary is really good. Then there was a story in Ohio where a woman said that her 13-year-old daughter attacked her. Her 13-year-old daughter was waiting in the kitchen for her to return home. The 13-year-old daughter had a mask over her face, and her hands were covered with her sleeves. She was kind of dressed like Slenderman and waiting for her mom to return home from work. And it was because her daughter was obsessed with Slenderman and wanted to do this because she felt Slenderman would be happy.
Wow. You know what? I'm starting to feel Slenderman's pull.
Don't do it.
I'm feeling a little Slender sickness. He must be near.
Don't do it.
And if I feel like he must be near, that means I'm thinking about him, and that means he's coming closer to me because I'm thinking about him.
I want to meet him.
I love it that we believe him into existence. We believe him into existence.
All right, ticket stock next year, Slenderman.
I believe in the Ticketman.
I don't think so.
The Ticketman is basically Slenderman, except rather than the dressed like a early Beatle, he's dressed in a Ticket T-shirt.
He's real spare compared to Slenderman.
Yeah, he is spare.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's the ODEC 643 on the Ticket. Here's in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Can't believe it took 44 years, but finally DFW Airport's getting a Whataburger. Here's an iconic burger chain.
It's about time.
From Texas, and they say that Whataburger is the most asked about restaurant in DFW Airport.
Wow.
By the people that go through there.
Yeah.
And they never had one. And finally, they're going to get one. Next year, there will be a Whataburger put in Terminal E, which is the
rarest
of all terminals.
Or that's D, the one that's the brand new one.
Yeah, okay. D is the awesome one. But they're redoing E right now. So they're going to put one there. And it's not even off the main area. You got to go down a corridor to get to it.
Hmm. Well, yeah, people should have a taste of Whataburger when they come through here and have a layover.
So Terminal E is going to have a Starbucks, which is a Texas institution, a Whataburger, a Dickie's Barbecue, and a CNBC News retail store.
Yeah, it's like a newsstand.
Oh, okay. It's not just a place where you go in and buy Keith Olbermann mugs or something?
No.
Or is that MSNBC?
You like that honey butter chicken biscuit?
I like everything that eats good.
Well, that eats good.
Man, I love Whataburger. Man, there was a... When I was working at the movie theater, you know, I used to have to screen... Because of a second-run movie theater, I had to screen the movies before we showed them because I had to see the prints. If the print of the movie was so badly deteriorated, we had to hurry up and order another one because there were second-run prints. So on Wednesday nights, I would have to watch like three or four movies overnight in the theater all by myself. You talk about creepy.
God.
In a big old haunted movie theater by myself. But I used to go by Whataburger.
Get hamburger.
And get two hamburger. Get two hamburger.
Stay up all night eating hamburgers.
Whataburger cheese, plain dry, with side of mayo. I just dip hamburger mayo.
It's the number two double meat with cheese. No onions. Ketchup, no mustard.
God. We have Norm saying just about everything.
So it'd be me sitting in that beaten movie theater, and it was second run, so it was all sticky floored, and just you couldn't ever get it clean. And then me just eating the Whataburger, so you just hear the rattle of the wrapper and everything, and then you hear me stop all of a sudden, whip my head around, and see if I heard somebody.
See if it was Slenderman.
See if Slenderman's watching Rocky V with me.
You've never really had it together in life, have you?
Whoa.
Hey. Come on.
It's always been just a bit of a struggle.
It's always been me barely keeping the car on the road. Steering's real loose. Getting wide and all the turns. That's a little crazy. That's all right.
At least you got Whopper.
At least I got Whopper. Another section of the Irving parking garage that collapsed. We found out that part of this thing collapsed. It was about a three-car space on the top level. Collapses down onto the second level. So then as the helicopter, news helicopter, is hovering above it, this is in Las Colinas at around, where is it, O'Connor and 114. So as the news helicopter is hovering around it, another section collapses.
Oh, my
gosh. It's caught on tape.
Crazy video.
Yes. And there were cars there on that section, so you watch them fall down.
Ugh.
And they say that some workers in the nearby office building, some of the ladies that work there, walk the parking garage during the lunch hour, you know, for exercise.
Wow.
And they happen to not be walking it at the time.
I've never fully trusted the parking garage.
Boy, me neither.
On, and no pun intended, many different levels. I've never trusted the construction. I also feel like it's a good place for a crime to be committed.
Yeah, the thing that's so psychologically disturbing to me is the ceilings are just too low.
Yeah, too low.
And the lighting is always sickly.
Yes.
And you're in there, and the footfalls can be so pronounced. And I watched so many shows as a kid when somebody's in a parking garage and they hear the footfalls behind them.
Right.
That always makes me nervous.
And you can't clearly see anybody or anything.
No. It's real soulless.
Yeah.
Parking garages are very soulless.
Oh, wow, that is amazing video.
You walk into them and you can feel your soul leave your body.
Yeah, I don't like them. And
but that's
those
what makes
women,
them beautiful.
They don't need to be walking their lunch walk in the parking garage,
what?
Breathing in all those fumes and
in the shade,
putting themselves at risk.
But it's the shade, and it's got an incline, which is good for you.
Yeah, okay, it's a pretty good idea.
See? And you get to scope out cool new cars. Yeah.
God.
Oh, Junior, you have no idea how much I was driven crazy by Rick Scanlon yesterday in my hotel room.
Oh, I have an idea.
Oh, really?
Because I was being driven crazy by Rick in my hotel room.
Get some.
I mean, he just keeps getting more and more of a simpleton.
Yeah. And he keeps thinking the dumbest things are cool.
Our old parking garage used to freak you out a little bit, the one in Maple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was always creepy.
You could always feel that one moving when a car went
by. I know. It would vibrate when a car's driving down it, and you'd feel the whole thing's about to crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Parking garages always feel grimy, too. They can never be clean.
Plus, I always got confused ramp in that one, kind of like I did when I go to Love Field.
Oh, man, I get confused ramp every parking garage I'm in. It's like, okay, there's only three levels to this parking garage from the outside. On the inside, there feels like there's 15, and I'm never sure which one I'm on. And
when you
return, you feel
yourself veering through and saying, oh, yeah, it's through there. How do
you
get to that ramp?
Do the peek through of the steel cables to see, okay, I think it's across over there hitting your thing. And then it's like, oh, flip, man. This is on a different – how is it on a different level? There's been at least – a dozen occasions in my life where I've had to climb the steel...
I've done that.
The steel ropes to get over into a level that's halfway down.
The steel rope...
The steel rope ball scratcher. It's the worst.
George, I got this text yesterday from Rick Skinlonen.
Uh-oh.
Guess what I like to have for Christmas and all year? Fun! Fun is so cool! 5 exclamation points.
Yeah.
Then, it's like I tell some of my hip best buddies when we are chilling around together, fun is the cool thing to have! 3 exclamation points.
What?
Yeah, it is!
Rick has just discovered the word cool, and now he's overusing it.
Fun is the cool thing to have.
It's maddening.
It is. I agree with you. But he was in my hotel room all night last night, just narrating everything I was doing.
That's terrible.
Can you imagine my life?
No.
Having to live with me all the time?
Yeah. I'm Norn.
I'm not talking to you. Tell Gordon he has news to do.
No.
Golly.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Back to the news. No one was killed in this garage collapse, but they say that it's about 30 cars, I believe, were affected.
Ooh.
Yeah. What bad luck is that? Especially if you just got a new car. I'm going to park a little out of the way in this corner of the parking garage, you know, keep it safe.
What about the cars that are parked right on the edge of where it collapsed? Can those people safely go get their cars?
I wouldn't think they could.
What are they going to have to do with the whole garage and all those other cars that are close?
I think they just have to blow those cars up.
I think they can rescue them somehow.
I don't know. Well, how are they going to use a crane to do that?
Crane.
You're talking about get a crane on the ground and then strap it around the car? Well,
like,
if you have
like
a guy up there strapping it on the car, why not just get the guy to drive it away?
Like that car right on the edge, there's no way the owner is allowed to go get that car, right?
No.
So what are they going to do with that car?
He can go forward and hop that curb.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, but who's going to drive it?
A parking garage expert.
But you're putting his life at risk.
George doesn't care.
He's
not a broadcaster.
Someone's got to get it.
I think you have to get Roger Staubach out there and blow the whole thing up.
No, he's not the only guy who can blow things up.
But he wants to blow things
up.
Well,
that's a problem.
Never should have said that to you guys.
Yeah.
He told us that he wanted to blow up the old Texas Stadium.
Yeah, but he didn't. They were able to prevent him from doing it, which is awesome. Alex Jones is in a courtroom. You know, Alex Jones, what do you think about this dude?
I think he's insane.
He is insane, and he's from Texas. He's based in Austin. I've seen him in person when he did this march on Dealey Plaza one time for the Kennedy assassination 50th anniversary.
Answers.
Yeah, he had a bullhorn, and he had all his InfoWars followers that were marching with him to Dealey Plaza and up the grassy knoll. And so I was standing from here to you, Georgia, about 3 feet away from
him. He has a bullhorn?
Yeah. And I forget, I trolled him somehow. I forget what I was saying
to him.
Start
bringing up hard evidence to him?
No, no, I was even more conspiracy than he was, just out trolling. But anyway, so there are these Sandy Hook parents who are, they've drug him into court about that he's lying about this truther business. You know, he's big into the Sandy Hook was a false flag event, and these mm-hmm. were crisis actors. Which, by the way, speaking of, dovetailing two stories here, it was a P1 yesterday on Twitter that claimed that those cars were crisis actors.
Okay.
Which is, it's pretty funny.
But that's sickening when you take a story yes. like that and say this, that these parents are and those kids were. That's just...
This family of a little six-year-old boy who was killed in Sandy Hook, in the Sandy Hook shooting, they've had to relocate 7 times trying to get away from Alex Jones' InfoWars people who hound them.
That's horrible.
Amazing.
Who are bugging this family to admit that they are crisis actors and that they never had a son and he was never killed in Sandy Hook.
Wow.
Now, this is the controversial part, because, okay, where is the line? And I'm also very much a supporter of the fact that we have free speech. And so I don't know what the call is here.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wants to question an official account of something, it seems like they should be allowed to.
But it crosses the line when you start harassing the victims of whatever incident.
Right. And I don't know if Alex Jones actually tells people to do this.
Right.
But let's say it's just some crazy followers of his. He shouldn't be responsible for the crazy followers unless he actively encourages them to do it.
But they have made him take some things down, right? Or they just...
Well,
they
YouTube
didn't even
janked
him.
Yeah, YouTube janked his channel and given him like a 60-day suspension or something
good.
Like that from live broadcast. But good, and once again, what is he guilty of?
I think at some point, yes, we do have free speech, but in the case of a television network, or in this case, an internet, I don't know how you classify YouTube. I guess they're a
website.
Site, yeah, a site that has its own channels. I think you have the right to do that. No, you can't put that garbage on there. Whether whatever you say, you know, say, well, it goes beyond the line of decency, whether it's pornography or, in this case, just inaccurate news.
He's such a cancer. He's such a poison to people. And you talk about Russian psyops. This is the kind of stuff that they love.
Yeah.
They love people like Alex Jones destabilizing our culture.
Yes.
And making us all paranoid and everything needs to be questioned. Nothing is real. Don't believe anything. There is not one big event that happens that Alex Jones doesn't jump on and say that it's a false flag. And start with all this mess and getting all his people riled up over it. Ah, it just causes such unrest. And finally, the judge has blocked the guy who wanted to post online plans to print a 3D gun. You know, with a 3D printer, you can print a gun, which sounds so weird to say.
It's plastic, right?
It's made of plastic, right, but it works. And he was going to release this on the internet for free speech reasons and to support our Second Amendment gun rights. And a judge has now blocked him from doing that. And so now that's been tied up. And I will do one quick hit for you on I'm going to save that. I got a detail about an actor you guys love that has announced that he has a horrible disease.
Oh, no.
Really?
Uh-huh. And I have breaking news.
Oh, I do know this. Yes, very sad.
And I have news on a very, very famous property that we have talked about a lot recently.
Okay.
I'll share that with you at 9:15. All right. But first, we got to do birthdays, which Killer did not give me. You guys talk about what you think are the best birthdays of the day while I tell you what I think about them.
We always like Danny White's birthday.
He was born
our own birthdays.
He was born on November 11th.
Yeah, Danny White Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In today's celebrity birthdays, we have the great man. Oh, no. Well, okay, I looked it up and it turned out to be yesterday's birthdays. That's not going to work.
I've got a few.
Okay.
That's terrible.
The greatest birthdays today are Joe Elliott, the rock star front man of Def Leppard, is 59.
That's some greatness time.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Is he? Chuck D turns 59. I'm sorry, 58. Rapper Coolio, 55 today.
Always liked him.
The lead singer of the Counting Crows, Adam Duritz, turns 54. Well, I'm looking at a modern picture of him. Whoa. he's struggling. Sam Mendes, the director, 53. We also have Tempest Bledsoe turning 45. She's a Cosby kid.
Was she Tootie?
No.
I think he asks that every year.
No. Robert Cray turned 65. One of the best signature Strats out there, in my opinion. It's Robert Cray Strat. And John Francis Kelly, the famous actor, turns 29. You're up to date.
All right, thanks. That's Muse 732 on the ticket. Gordo introduces us to another famous Dallas Cowboy.
How about three famous Dallas Cowboys?
Whoa,
Craig?
Wow.
Does that sound better?
Man.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, Kadeem Edwards. Now, Kadeem Edwards teaches me what a slapstick is, and I also find out that I think all Cowboys players are full of BS.
Okay.
Kadeem, you got a moment?
Yeah.
All right, this is for the ticket in Dallas. Ask me a few sports questions.
Okay.
Yeah? Are you having a good training camp so far?
We just started.
Is it the best one you've ever been to?
Dallas, yes.
Yeah. How many different training camps have you been to?
Three.
We're doing a civics quiz. Are you taking questions on civics?
No.
It kind of leaves me with nothing to say. What kind of car do you drive?
Jeep Cherokee.
Manual transmission?
Yes.
Really? That's very rare. You
manual?
Know what?
Oh,
manual.
No, automatic. I'm sorry.
Wait, you thought I said male transmission?
I got a slapstick, so I can drive it in manual.
What's a slapstick?
I can change it at any point in time while driving.
But there's no three pedals?
No, it's on the steering wheel. I can...
See, I hate
That's
this.
What they call that?
Yeah, a slapstick, I guess. I've never called it that. I think that's a weird workaround. If you don't have a clutch, it shouldn't be considered a manual transmission. If you can go into automatic mode, it's not a manual transmission.
Yeah, but
a lot of cars are moving that way.
Manually hit a button, though.
Yeah, and then you switch it yourself. Okay.
Add and subtract gears.
Right, yeah. Right. Who is your favorite musician of all time?
J. Cole.
Jay Cutler?
Cole.
Yeah. Can you name any of the Beatles?
No, I can't.
Can you name a Beatles song?
No, I can't.
What about Vice President of the United States?
Nope.
Do you care about politics? You follow that at all?
No, not at all.
No? Mm-hmm. But you know who the president is. I mean, he's controversial enough that...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you disagree with the wall thing?
Yes, in ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, I contend that he doesn't know what I'm talking about when I ask about the wall
right. thing.
I would
that's
agree.
Why he hedged with the, yes, in ways. In ways.
And if you could wave a magic wand and accomplish something in the world, what would it be?
In homelessness.
Indeed. Appreciate your time.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In homelessness.
That?
Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
Okay, then I talked with Coney Ealy. And he tells me to take a timeout multiple times in this interview because he's thrown by my questions. And I contend my questions aren't that hard because I ask him the Sam Madison question of a lifetime. And you'll see what his response was.
Coney, get some time?
Yeah.
All right. Can you tell me who Bob Lilly is in your own words?
Time out. Bob Lilly?
Yeah.
The Dean.
What's that?
The Dean.
Yeah, Mr. Cowboy. You know what I'm saying? Defensive end.
He said D-end?
D-end. That's what he
More
said.
More of a tackle.
It's a tackle, yeah.
Okay. So now, but wait, he's going to go on at length about Bob Lilly, so you know he actually does know who he is. Okay, time out.
I'm just not getting done.
Oh, yeah, take a breath.
Remind me who now?
Bob Lilly, Mr. Cowboy, a former Cowboy
right.
Hall of Famer.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm ready now. Let's go.
Okay. You look a little winded.
I just got done running.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Hey, do you know who Coco the Gorilla is?
Bob Lilly. Let's go with him.
Oh, Bob Lilly rather than Coco the Gorilla. Bro. Okay, yeah, Bob Lilly. If you could just tell me your Bob Lilly memories.
Man, I don't have any specific memories, but that dude had a motor on him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just...
Fast runner.
Yes. I mean, just the way he didn't get tired. You know, he was relentless in his heart.
Okay, do you think he is BSing me here?
No, he has no idea. He heard defensive lineman Hall of Fame, so he just assumed, like all defensive linemen who are in the Hall of Fame, they had a motor on them.
Yeah, they had a motor on them.
He didn't get tired. You know, he was relentless in his heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I, you know, guys like me coming up in the league or just around got to see that, and he put a path out here for all of us defensive linemen, edge rushers, you know, whatever.
Talk about how excited he was to see that. He watched him play all the time. And then he goes into, you know.
Edge rushers. Whatever you say.
What about Bob Lilly? Do you think he ever ate fast food?
I don't know. You have to call him and ask him.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Okay, so that was Bob Lilly was a big edge rusher, right?
No.
No?
He did put pressure on quarterbacks, but it was.
That guy had a motor on him, though. I mean, he just never quit.
He had a motor.
He just never quit, and he paved the way for
maybe
Coney
he saw. Ealy. Maybe he has seen, like, out there at the Star, they have those video clips shown all the time in Cowboy history. Maybe he saw the sack of Bob Greasy in Super Bowl VI.
George.
And he thought that
was... He had no idea.
No idea.
He kept chasing him.
He
was throwing words at me, hoping the question would go away. That's what he was doing. And finally, when you talk about Stars in the Dallas Cowboy roster... Zeke Elliott comes to mind, doesn't he?
Sure.
I actually did talk to Zeke.
Wow, you did.
And every time I've interviewed Zeke, it always goes the same way. I go up and talk to him when he's busy doing something else. He'll respond to me a little bit, and then he just starts ignoring me. And this interview was no exception to that rule. By the way, I ask him the question on everyone's mind, too, which you know what that is, right? Hey, Zeke, what's your favorite kind of pizza?
Like pizza toppings.
Cheese?
Just regular cheese, nothing else?
Maybe some hamburger meat.
Were you saddened by the death of Coco?
Saddened? Can you get my Sharpie?
And that was it. He ignored me.
Did he say saddened, or did he just ignore you?
I think you do hear him say saddened. Yeah.
Were you saddened by the death of Coco?
Saddened.
Right there.
He either says, this is like the Jerry lip reading thing. We're trying to interpret this. I think he either says saddened or seventh. Like, he didn't understand what I was saying. Were you seventh by the death of Coco?
It's so
seventh?
Loud, and he didn't.
It's such mayhem.
How many of the Cowboys here in camp do you think know of the death of Coco the Gorilla?
Zero.
But what I love about this is asking these different players, because it might come up in conversation at the cafeteria over there.
Right.
And somebody go, man, somebody asked me about Coco too just recently. Everything.
Who is Coco?
What's to do with Coco? And it gets them talking about Coco. So when you say a very famous Dallas Cowboy, I did interview a very famous Dallas Cowboy.
Yes, you did.
Only got one question in, though.
Gordo's Corner, brought to us by our brand new Gordo's Corner sponsor this week. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all make sure we welcome Heaven Hill Distilleries to the corner.
You bet. Okay. I told you the story yesterday about the race that's going on over there in Virginia, in which the Democratic candidate tweeted out.
It's going on right now?
Yeah. Leslie Cockburn. Leslie Cockburn tweeted out, "My opponent, Denver Riggleman, running mate of Corey Stewart, was caught on camera campaigning with a white supremacist. Now he's been exposed as a devotee of Bigfoot erotica. This is not what we need on Capitol Hill." And then posted the picture of Bigfoot with a big sensor bar going down something that was hanging between his legs. And this has brought a lot of attention. I told you guys, there's a whole segment of erotica devoted to Bigfoot. Bigfoot pornography. Or erotica, I guess. It's a written word, and it's very tastefully done. And it's not just this one guy who's into erotica. He claims it's just a joke between he and his buddies. I told you, there are women who love this stuff. And I read a post on one of the feminist websites that started talking about Bigfoot erotica, and these people in the comments coming out of the woodwork talking about the ones that they like. Some of them like stories of women having sex with mermen. Why are you rolling your eyes, Giorgio?
There's like five people in the whole country.
Oh, no. This is big. It's big stuff. One commenter said, my wife works in publishing, and this is typical of a self-publishing platform, publishing Bigfoot erotica. This stuff goes in cycles. A few years back, it was dinosaur sex. And before that, tentacle porn. You know, and that's the Japanese are big into the tentacle porn stuff.
How do you know that?
Because it's all over the internet. That's like a known thing, is that the Japanese like to see women with octopi.
Or violating them?
Yeah, or any sort of creature with tentacles.
Okay.
And then another commenter said, a friend of mine does cover illustrations for those self-publishing presses. Her portfolio of gay archangel threesomes, elf orgies, Aztec gods, naked mer people, sexy golems, and big feats. You name it. It's
and
incredible.
An abortion.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Jeez. Purge.
Yeah. And one commenter talks about a story they read. She liked Taken by the T-Rex, which was the name of a book. Taken by the T-Rex. I wonder what that was about. So, doesn't this at least make you feel good, Giorgio, in that there is a broad diversity of humans? Like, we should celebrate our differences, and that different things is what gets us going.
No, if this is a widespread thing, this makes me think that, yes, the end is very, very near.
Dude.
That if we're so desperate
that sounds
that we
a little
to...
bit like kink shaming.
Maybe.
Don't kink shame. Don't shame shame. This has basically gotten where we are in the world, I think. You shouldn't feel shame for anything.
Everything's
except
fine.
Your politics.
Just accept everything.
And then I want you to feel lots of shame for your politics. They disagree with my own.
And if you point out someone who is shaming someone, you're shaming them, and you shouldn't shame them.
That's shame shame.
No, I think you can shame shame in that instance.
You can?
Yeah, if someone is shaming someone else for something that is shameful to a lot that goes on, then they should be shame shamed. You should shame shame them. And no, you should shame them, and then people should not shame shame them. So I'll try to find some examples. I found a few examples of Bigfoot erotica that were a little bit too graphic to read. And so I'll do a dramatic reading of that at some point for you, Giorgio. Maybe we'll do a Thursday night show,
no.
You and I, on Bigfoot erotica.
No.
You write a short story. I'll write a short story. We'll read it for the P1s, and
no.
Then they'll get to vote which one got them hornier.
I don't want to do that.
The females will have to vote which one made them hornier. The males will vote which one they thought was the coolest. Okay, we have a big-time star who's announced a big-time disease. And this makes me think of Craig, because, Craig, this is one of your favorite dudes.
Yes.
Alan Alda has announced that he has Parkinson's disease, and he's had this for over 3 years.
Oh, man.
He revealed this in an interview yesterday on CBS This Morning. Alan Alda, for those who may not remember, was on a show called MASH. He was the main character on MASH. Does that show hold up?
Yes. I watch it fairly often.
Show that great still holds up.
And it still holds up, especially the older episodes with Frank Burns and Trapper John and Henry Blake.
All right. Let me counterpoint this a little bit. It didn't bother you that they had a laugh track.
That may bother some people now who are starting to see comedies without laugh tracks, but
at the time I didn't think of it. It that does stand out when I rewatch it.
Because it's clearly not done in front of a studio audience.
Right.
Yet there's a studio audience laughing.
They did that for
every show.
Most of the shows back then.
And a lot of the jokes were worth laughing at. It was funny.
It was really well written, and his character, Hawkeye, Benjamin Franklin Pierce, is one of the five, without question, greatest characters in TV history. It's one of the highest rated shows ever, and he's the main character of it. It's the highest rated finale of any show in the history of television. One of the longest running shows on television. He took center stage the entire time. Without question, he's one of the five greatest characters ever.
Very Marx Brothers-like, by the way.
Yeah, it was extremely Groucho.
Yeah. Well,
and I remember watching that finale when I was a kid and being all disturbed by it. I used to make jokes about smothering the chicken all the time. Because of that plot in the bus. It was real disturbing.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the chicken.
He's tickets own, too.
Yeah, we had him on. That was a thrill.
It was a huge honor to have him on.
It was great.
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry, Walker. It. He was so unmemorable. He's a noted lib.
Well.
And I believe he has a podcast.
Yeah.
And he's 82 years of age.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize he was in his
80s. You believe he's that old?
Did you see that he tweeted, I was diagnosed 3.5 years ago, but my life is full. I act. I give talks. I do my podcast, which I love. I take boxing lessons 3 days a week, play singles tennis twice a week, take a mild pill, all doctor recommended. I even juggle a little bit. So it sounds like he's...
So he's scoreboarding other Parkinson's victims who
doing
have
pretty
been
well
much more affected.
Considering.
Huh. Interesting. Okay, so the way that he discovered he had Parkinson's, I think this is an interesting detail. He says that he went to the doctor after reading in an article in the New York Times... which said that acting out one's dreams, okay, so this is, I'm not talking about your dreams of becoming a professional skier. I'm talking about your dreams at night. Acting out your dreams could be an early warning sign of Parkinson's disease. And he said that that little sentence that he read made him think, well, I should go get checked to the doctor, because he had an episode in which he acted out a dream he was having that somebody was attacking him and that he threw a sack of potatoes at them, when in reality he threw a pillow at his wife.
Wow.
At night.
Really?
When he was having this nightmare.
Huh.
And it was so unusual and disturbing to him, he reads that sentence, he goes, well, I connect these two dots, I'm gonna go see the doctor. And sure enough, they found he had Parkinson's.
Uh-oh.
That's interesting.
I've never, like, thrown anything, but I find myself waking up acting out in some sort of dream.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
There's the falling sensation. There's, I have, like, struck my hand out or something, or, yeah. I've done that a few times, and more than just a few times. I'd say it happens quite often.
Well, I don't think the, you know, when you dream you're falling, I think a lot of people do that. I think this was a little more dramatic from what it sounds like.
Yeah, picking up something
and throwing it.
Acting it. Yeah, I haven't done that, but I have found myself, like, moving and then waking up and realize that I was doing what I was doing in the dream.
And has this been more recently, or you've done this your whole life?
I'd say more recently.
Well, go get checked out.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll become Alan Alda. They have medicines for this. You know, Michael J. Fox, when I think of Parkinson's, he's the one I think of first.
Mm-hmm. He got it at a very young age.
Very young age. And, you know, he takes those drugs that keeps his tremors down. And obviously Alan Alda is now taking, as he called it, a mild pill to control it as well. But have you noticed any tremors, Giorgio?
No.
Because that's the other thing, is Alan Alda said he also noticed that he had a kind of a thumb twitch.
No, I haven't noticed that.
Okay, well, just be on the lookout for that. Hmm. You're worrying me over there, Giorgio. Wait, Why is your arm twitching like that?
It's not.
I don't know.
They'll make up things.
And then the big time real estate news that I wanted to share with you has to do with a story we've been following here on the morning show, and that's the Brady Bunch house.
It sell?
No, not, it hasn't sold just yet, although they were taking offers up until midnight last night, and they had five different bidders. One of them, Lance Bass.
Hmm.
And Lance Bass, formerly of NSYNC, and I believe he was from a little small town that I was that I'm from in Mississippi, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah. He is one of the buyers. Now, there's two corporate buyers. And this is disturbing because that's the area, you know, they're talking about how, oh, this is prime real estate. They want to build a big development on it. So those two corporate buyers may just bulldoze the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just knock it back into the Los Angeles River, which runs right back behind it. But Lance Bass says that, no, he wants to buy it. And very unstable, he claims that if he buys it, he is going to recreate the TV house behind the facade of the actual house.
He's going to have to knock out some walls.
Yeah, and he sounds like he's not really up to date on the fact that the inside has never been like the TV house. He says, I'm going to return it back to its original condition. And it's like, no.
There's no upstairs. It's a one-story.
It's a one-story. And if you look at the pictures inside the house, you can tell it's in its original condition. It is so 70s looking inside. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's great. I think it's a fantastic house to keep exactly as it is, with the wood paneling, the rock fireplace. Everything looks so dated, including the furniture in it looks dated because the same family's owned it for 45 years. And it's the grandkids that are selling it. And the granddaughter who gives the tour of it, she looks like she's about 40 or so. She looks kind of like Marcia Brady.
Really?
Yeah. And she talks about growing up in that house, in her grandma's house, being there.
Huh.
She's kind of attractive. But yeah, he says he's going to turn it into the TV house if he is the winning bidder. Now, the asking price was $1.8 million.
Gosh.
And if you have five bidders, there's no doubt that that house went up over $2.5 million.
Yeah.
Because they were bidding against each other. They say it's the second most photographed house behind the White House.
Do you believe that?
I don't think I believe that.
What would beat it?
Oh, man.
Mrs. Doubtfire House?
What is that?
Yeah, what is
that? That's a big site in San Francisco. We tried to go buy it.
We did?
Yeah, maybe that was with Bad Radio when we did that at the Super Bowl.
Okay, you have the Mork and Mindy House in Boulder.
Yep.
That wouldn't surpass the Brady Bunch House. You have the...
But the Breaking Bad...
The Breaking Bad house. That's got to be a big one now.
I think it's huge, but I don't think it's been photographed more than the Brady Bunch house. I think the Brady Bunch house is more mass appeal.
South Fork?
The Amityville Horror house. That's
South
a big
Fork
one.
Back in the day?
South Fork's a really good one.
You know what's been in the news lately is the Full House in San Francisco. Big story the other day on the news because there's so much traffic going by there, people mm-hmm. photographing, they've had to put up signs to keep the traffic flowing.
So, see, I would think that because Brady Bunch is so beloved, but Breaking Bad is so much more current. Surely the Breaking Bad house has more people, but it's not in a big city like L.A. I mean, it is, but not like L.A. God, maybe that isn't a correct claim, but it's made by a realtor. You going to believe anything a realtor says?
That's the Full House.
Okay.
Huh.
They have a ton of traffic there.
What about the... I think South Fork is a good one, because South Fork is popular internationally.
What was the one we went by in Minnesota? Oh, the Mary Tyler Moore House.
Yep.
That one did not look heavily photographed.
No.
We were the only people there for forever. I think they're right. I think it is Brady Bunch House. Well, Lance Bass may end up kicking back in there, it being his residence.
Kicking back.
He returns it back to the state of the studio house, and he'll lay on his bed in there reading Bigfoot erotica.
I doubt it.
Which some people are saying that the title character of one of the Bigfoot erotica books they read was Asquatch. Another one had a gay Bigfoot as the lead character, and his name was Sasquatch with two S's at the end of Sass. And the gay cover art shows him walking very prim and proper. Come on. That's kind of funny, isn't it, George?
Yeah, I guess.
God, stop being against Sasquatch porn. Didn't know I'd say it. Didn't know I'd say it.
Anybody smell pot?
Right now?
Yeah.
Really? I smelled the skunk.
Don't you,
earlier.
Joe? I smell it.
It's like somewhere it over there?
The last few minutes.
Uh-oh.
It's now legal here in California, we should add, but yeah. I've never smelled it before at Cowboys training camp.
Norm disappeared back behind the tent. I wonder if that has something to do with it. Golly, well, I do smell it.
Mm-hmm.
God, to me, that's still one of the grossest smells. I hate the smell of pot.
I don't think it's gross. I don't think it's great, but it doesn't make me sick.
I'd much rather smell someone smoking a cigarette.
I'll tell you what, if you go down to the beaches here, it's all you smell.
Yeah.
Beaches love pot.
Well, now that it's legal in California, the California beaches love pot.
Chicks can't hold their smoke.
Well, what are we doing? We got to do this before we leave.
Man, we got to, man.
Totally legal. Will you do it, Giorgio?
We'll say, man.
For the first time
Come on,
in your life,
no,
you can do pot and admit it.
Come on, Scro.
What Jody Dean
Don't
said.
Say Scro and no.
Would you do it? Think about what we ought to do is, do they have edibles here?
Yeah.
They have edibles, right?
So I've heard.
Okay, so how about we do this on Friday? We take it at 9 a.m.
We got to fly.
Dallas time.
You can fly
on
that.
You can fly on pot. There's no problem.
No.
We take it at 9 a.m. It'll be worn off by then anyway.
And we report back on Monday, and won't everyone want to tune in to find out what George's experience was
yes.
like?
Yes, and I think people will tune into that 9 o'clock hour listening to how silly we get. We've got to do it to raise awareness.
We have to do it.
You guys can do it.
George, come on. It'll be fun. I think this is a great idea.
Come on, Scro.
What if I freak out?
You're not going to freak out and start doing Parkinson's dream acting?
Maybe.
All right, the end.
All right, the end. Coming up next, David Moore joins us here from Oxnard with today's camp report.